Can we change that first one? It needs to change the first one to Wednesday. Ask Sandy if we can change the first one.
To what date?
Wednesday.
What is it?
Ask Sandy if that's okay.
Do you want to change?
I don't even know. Do they want 75?
Oh, I think so.
75. Ask her if that's okay. We do know.
Does he know 257?
What's that?
Okay, 175.
175.
Hymn number 175.
All right, on a rainy morning this morning, if you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, give an amen.
Amen.
Hey,
All right, I'll take that. We got lots to pray for. There's a lot of people traveling. Got a couple announcements. Miss Josetta, did you give me that paper? Do you want me? Here, I'll come get it from you.
Okay. Hey, we'll let you preach if you want.
No, you don't want that. It's about a soup kitchen that our church is helping to provide. And to give you a little background about it, when we did 2 years ago the meal, the Thanksgiving meal at the Armory, the same committee that did that the Lord has laid on our hearts to do something a little bit different because of COVID. We can't do a sit-down meal. That's out of the question. So, and help us pray about this. We've determined to do a soup kitchen, and it would be once a month that we would provide soup and sandwich free to people that would drive by our fellowship hall. We just hand it out to them. But a few churches can't do it, so we're going to ask all the churches that helped with it before, which we had 25 before. And so the first one is going to be a week from this coming Saturday, the 16th of October. And what I'm up here for is to get volunteers. Our church, for this particular one, will be joining with six other churches to do this. And I need, for our particular church, and I'll put the sign-up sheet here on the table, I need four ladies to provide a crock pot or a kettle of vegetable beef soup. And I need four other ladies to give us one dozen pimento cheese sandwiches in baggies, and another four ladies to give us some cookies in baggies. But most important, that's important right there. That's what we're going to provide the food for. But I need others to help us, just to show up and help us to assemble all this, to have it ready to hand out to these folks as they drive by the fellowship hall. So as you can see, it's going to take a lot of helpers. So I'll put this out, and I'll be here to answer any questions that you have about this. But I just truly believe that the Lord wants us to do this. This coming winter may be hard times with supply shortages and what have you. So this may be our way that we can help some folks that are less fortunate. So,
you know, if you've been around me any length of time, you will have heard me ask you to go to Africa. And the general response is, no. And then it's always followed by this. Well, we need missionaries right here. We need people right here. We need to do things right here in our own town. And I would absolutely 100% agree with that. This is the opportunity, right? Okay, because, I mean, I think they're going to do this at our church every month. Other churches are going to come here and be a part of it, but they're going to use our church as a jumping off spot. Every month, this will be an opportunity. And young, I mean, to me, I think it's an absolute blessing to have ladies in our church burdened about a ministry. And there's no way in the world we should let them do this by themselves. If we all chip in, and if you say, okay, each family take one Saturday a year. I mean, you know, or one Saturday a month, you know, to come in. We can all pitch in for that. And then if you would like to do that, see Miss Josetta, and we'll get times and all of those things, but I'm sure with a church our size, we can pitch in there and help them. You have kids, it'd be a great opportunity. My kids have gone up and done it at the Christian Center, and they loved it. It's a good opportunity for them to learn that they are blessed. Not everybody is as fortunate and blessed as we are, and that it's just an opportunity to serve. Do you need to make a quick announcement?
Yes, I think most people know about our retreat has to do that online, so it's after that, and we get online through the retreat, so we'll be on the
Thank you. Is that out there? Okay. If, yeah, go ahead. It's okay. Okay. So we have a chance to have a printed directory, and you can also have an online directory. Can you just check back there, make sure your information is there? If it's not there and you want it there, just so we can, you know, stay connected as a church family, and then there's an opportunity to pick whether you want an online version or you want a printed version. If you'll just double check that on your way out. Brother Chris Burkholz, I met him a few years ago. I actually preached a mission conference for him. And preaching a mission conference talked him into going to take his first mission trip, all right? Back then, I was going to Honduras in Africa. Honduras was closer. So his church decided to take their first mission trip. And I didn't go with him because that's right when I resigned and went to Africa. But because of that mission conference, he took his first mission trip, went again on another mission trip. Five mission trips later, he resigned. And they started a ministry in Honduras. Why don't you come introduce yourself? We're going to see a quick video, and we'll move on. Chris, nice to have you with us today. Okay. Go ahead.
What a blessing it is to be with you all this morning. I've never been to the big city of Helenwood before, and I am thrilled to be with you all. I've known Pastor Barnhouse. I was trying to figure out when we met. It was probably around 2003 or so, and I'm thankful for his ministry and for his heart for missions. It's helped a lot of people all over the place, and I'm sure at this church it's helping you develop your heart for world evangelism. I love Honduras, where God's called me to serve him, and I'll show you a video here in just a moment that gives you some mental images of what's going on there. But we have a ministry that has three main focuses. One of them is evangelism. We want to see people saved, and we're able to get the gospel out by just regular door knocking, but we also get into the public schools and can really have free reign to do whatever we want in the public school system, and so we've done that. We've had the opportunity to do food drives and give out rice and beans. When COVID started, so many of Hondurans make very little money. 65% of those in Honduras make less than $2 American a day. And they had put a restriction on everybody. They couldn't leave their home for 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, you could go get supplies. And they were really strict about it. The police were roaming around in pickup trucks and things. And if they saw you out, they'd throw you in jail for the night. And people in our town, the people in my church, were going to cut down wood to light a fire so they could cook that night. And they got thrown in jail for the night. And we got permission to go door to door and pass out food to all these houses that couldn't be out, and got to give the gospel out. And so evangelism is a big part of what we do. Church planning and church help is a big part of what we do. We've got, I was pastoring a church there. We've turned it over to a national. We've got a plan to start five churches by 2030 in the mountains and the rural areas using national leadership. And so we're excited about that. And I've been looking for our piece of land to build the first church building there in the mountains. And another area that we focus on is helping some of these abandoned children. There's 180,000 orphaned or abandoned children in Honduras. And we've been able to take over 20 young people in our home over the last 5 years or so and be a family to them and help them and work with broken kids. And every one of those children have a story that if I had time to share with you, it would break your heart. And they've been left behind by moms and dads coming to the States sometimes. They've been in abusive situations. I was telling Pastor yesterday, one of the young people came in, and we said, look, we know your life's not perfect, and we know you've got things that you need to change in your life, but we're going to love you, and we're going to care about you, and we're going to work through those problems no matter what. And they started crying, and they said, Brother Chris, you say that you love me, but you don't know me, and nobody's ever known me and still loved me, and one day you won't want me. And we've had challenges with that person, but a few years later, they trusted Christ as their Savior. And the Lord is good. And so I want to show you this video. It's about 3 minutes long. It'll just show you a little bit about our ministry, our ministry campus there. And if you have any questions, I'll be by my display after the service, can answer any questions you have.
Thank you.
right. Sorry. If you, everybody please stand, our brother deacons come forth. Grab a hymn book and turn to hymn number 314. I think sometimes I just take for granted being born in America, how good I've had it, till I look and see that not everybody is so blessed. But Brother Arnold, would you ask blessing on the offering? Thank you.
wasn't planning on singing, but it's raining outside, and chances are if you go outside, you're going to get covered in water. And I can tell you something that's so important for you to get covered in before the day comes that you got to leave this world, and that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We sang a song about the old rugged cross, and I'm just thankful that God did leave his home, came down here, and died one of the worst deaths that could ever be known for somebody like me. And I don't deserve it, but I'm thankful for it. I was lost and undone, and I could not find my way, when I heard of a man who could wash my sins away, and how they drove the nails in him, how they hung him in my stead, and the cross where he died, it was stained crimson red. Oh, crimson flow, cover me, make me whiter than snow. For the blood you shed on Calvary is the greatest gift I know. Now wash me in that cleansing tide, O precious Lord. Let me be thine, make me whole in thy precious crimson flow.
Amen.
Now when Jesus was accused, and Pilate saw he would be killed, so he tried to wash his hands of Jesus' blood that would be spilled. Unlike Pilate, I'm glad to know Jesus' blood, it still has flown. And if you would say this prayer, what joy you too could know. Oh, crimson flow, cover me, make me whiter than snow. For the blood you shed on Calvary is the greatest gift I know. Now wash me in the cleansing tide, O precious Lord. Let me be thine, make me whole in thy precious crimson flow.
Amen.
So please pray for us. I don't sing unless I'm singing in front of my children, so you all are now my children. This is a song that I can't help but sing every single time that I go to the river. That's, for me, the closest that I can be to God, because of there's so much beauty in all of his creation, and you can see it so wonderfully at the river. So that's why I chose this song to sing. Don't laugh at me. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down, come on, brothers, let's go down. Sorry, excuse us. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you wanna go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Amen. I think that's a fitting song since Tracy's going to be baptized today. So that's cool. I appreciate that. Appreciate both those songs this morning. If you have a Bible with you, if you take it and go to Psalms chapter 119, I'm just going to use that as a jumping off point this morning, Psalms 119. This is the beginning of fall break, and there are several people that are traveling today and that are away. If you'll pray for them while they're gone, and I'm excited about the ministry opportunity with that soup thing. Make sure you see Josetta afterwards. Psalms 119, and we'll pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, that we can come back here. Lord, if we take the time and we would look at the world around us, it just every day it just seems like another page is turned, and Lord, our country definitely is different. There's no denying that. But I'm glad that I can open this Bible up and it'll never change. I'm not going to find another opinion, another road, another gospel. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that it's a barometer in my life. It's a compass. And Lord, I pray that we would use that. Lord, I want to ask you to help people today. Lord, everybody comes to this place for one reason or another in their heart, and you know what it is. Lord, there's people that are searching, and I pray that you'd help them to find what their heart needs. There's, Lord, no doubt there are people here that have never trusted the Lord, and I pray that you would be real to them. And Lord, and there may be Christians that have been walking with you for a long time. I pray that you would renew in their heart a love and a desire for you, and that you would just help us. Jesus, thank you for being kind, loving, and forgiving. And Lord, thank you for caring about us. I pray you'd help us with your word this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. This is a familiar portion of scripture in Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we're just going to think about that. We're going to turn into a couple other verses. But before, I just want you to think about very, 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 very familiar verse. Heard it 100 times. Know it backwards, but does it mean anything to you? When you read this immediately, it doesn't say this is only for certain people. Anybody that's a believer, this is for us, and for you not to be a believer, it's still for you, because you can't get saved without the glorious light of the gospel. The question is, do you use this? Does this mean something to you? Every one of us are going someplace in your life. Every one of us, you know, God is working in us, and he's hoping that you're teachable, I mean, there's nobody in this room that's arrived. Nobody in this room has it figured out. Everybody in this room still needs Jesus. Because we're all sinners. When you get saved, your eternal punishment for sin is taken care of for eternity. The fact that you live in a sinful body is still very real. And because of that, we can all be taught, we can all learn, we all need correction, we all need advice. We get to that point where you don't think you need that, then that's when you're in trouble. And here it says, thy word, this Bible that we have, it's a light. It's going to show us that direction. Would you agree with me that the world is getting increasingly dark? Absolutely. Well, then we need this. Why would you want to navigate this world without the light? The light shines on it, lets you know what's real and not real, what's truth and not truth, what's going to hurt you and what's going to help you. How many of you ever stepped in a spiritual hole? You ever gotten to something that got the best of you? You made a mistake. You said something you didn't want to say, thought something you didn't want to think, and it's because at that moment you're walking blind. But if you let the light do what the light's supposed to do, it's supposed to keep you from those obstacles. Right? You know, I tell you what, darkness in Africa, when you're way out and there's no electricity and there's no houses that have light and something happens and the car goes out and you're standing there and you get out of that vehicle, you cannot see 10 feet in front of you. It is complete darkness. I mean, trying to even move, you can't do it. And all of a sudden, somebody pulls out a phone and that little tiny light makes a big difference in that dark world, and you can see where you're going. There's a lot of things you don't want to step on in Africa. Snakes are one of them. But you definitely want to be able to have that light at night. Well, same way down here. Question is, I want you to think about this. Did you use the light this week? If you didn't use it, well, it's because you didn't think you needed it. Or you ran into something that you could have avoided had you had that light. Everybody in this room needs that light. And here's why. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the reason why it mentions about feet and path. It's showing you where to walk and where not to walk, what to do and what not to do. You need the help from God's word in order to do that. It'll correct you. It'll encourage you. It'll guide you. It'll help you to repent. It'll convict you. Without that, it's to show whether or not you actually believe that has to do with how often you actually use this light. If I took you to Africa and I drove way out there and I shut everything off and I said, walk home, you're going to say, first thing you're going to ask me is, do you have a light? Why? Because the task I'm asking you to do is impossible without a light. To navigate the world we live in, as Christians, you cannot do it without the light successfully. You will hit something no matter who you are. If it's important to you, then you'll look at that book as being that light. You'll want it shining on your path, because you're going to make a bad decision if you don't. You're going to make the wrong decision. You're going to make the wrong move. You're not going to be where you need to be unless that's shining, because that's going to make sure you're looking at it correctly. There are things that can be hidden from us that aren't hidden from God. There's things that he knows that I don't know. He has my best interest in mind. He's never going to lead me in a hole. He's never going to lead me off a cliff. He's never going to take me someplace that is going to be dangerous for me. It's just the opposite. So as we think about that light, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23. Okay, Psalms 37 and verse 23. First question is, listen, I mean, I know you know that verse, but are you using that light? When you get up in the morning, do you feel the need to have the light of God's word shining on your path throughout the day? Are you looking at your feet, making sure God is the one that's guiding them, that he guides your mouth, that he guides your eyes, that he guides your thoughts? Then it says here in Psalms 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are random. Is that what your Bible says? It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, if they're ordered by the Lord, how are you going to know about them? See, that ordered by the Lord means that he's already determined. He knows where he wants to take you. You might not be aware of the full plan, but he is. They're already ordered. When you order something, you put in ahead of time what you want. Is that not cool to think about this? They always ask you, have you ordered at the restaurant? What are you doing? Ahead of time, you are telling them what you want, so when they bring it out, it matches what you want. Well, God's already ordered what he wants for me. He's already ordered it. Okay? And that is very comforting for me to know. Because it takes the responsibility off of me. He's already ordered it. What do I need to do to fulfill that? I just need to follow him. Why? He's already put the order in. Right? There's comfort in knowing a good man's steps, they're ordered by the Lord. That light is going to shine on that path to make sure I stay on the plan that he's already ordered. I can get off of it. I can get sidetracked. I can get discouraged. I can get backslidden. I can get cold. I can allow the emotions of the world we live in to overtake me and make wrong decisions. That can certainly happen. Christians can fall. Do you know sin can come in Christians' lives? You would not believe. And Brother Kermit's been a pastor. And Brother Chris has been a pastor. I mean, sometimes you think of the ones, the couples and people you think are bulletproof. The moment they begin violating the truths in this Bible, they find out they are not. Nobody can walk without the light. Okay? There's people that try it, and they step in a hole. Now, what I want to show you here is how this works out in two stories, and then we'll be done this morning. I want you to go to 1 Samuel. We were there a little bit last week in chapter 9, 1 Samuel chapter 9, and I just want to finish that story a little bit. And this is talking about when, let me just get there really quick, 1 Samuel chapter 9, when Saul was anointed king. Here's what I love about that. It was not God's plan for them to have a king. And he let the people choose. But listen to this. Even though it was not his plan, because he loved them, he still stayed involved. He said, if you're going to have a king, well, then let me tell you, I'm going to get involved in that, and I'm going to help you. Now, Saul, we know, last week we talked about how that God gave him a new heart. We know going into him being king, God gave him everything that he needed. What happened next was up to him. But I just want to share this with you. And let me just read you this little bit of a story to go about this. A good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Verse 1. Now there was a man, Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abelia, the son of Zeror. All those names I can't say. Verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person. Go to verse 3. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, take now one of the servants with thee. Arise to go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalashai, but they found them not. And they went on this journey for quite some time. They went from city to city. When I read the story, I think, well, that's kind of random. I mean, Israel's picking a king, and you got the guy looking for donkeys. What in the world's that got to do with anything? You know, I know, because I know the story. I know Saul is going to be the next king, and I know that's where this is going, and he eventually needs to meet Samuel in order for that to happen. He doesn't even know who Samuel is at this moment. But what he's doing, he's being obedient to his father, which is a biblical principle, which the light of the gospel would show you that. His dad said, hey, I need you to do something for me. I need you to go find these donkeys. They got loose. And what did Saul do? What a son should do, what you and I should do when our father asks us to do something. Although he might think, well, go get them yourself, you know, or why don't you go look for them? He says this. He says, okay, Dad, if it's important to you, then it's important to me. May I tell you something? Every believer in here is a child of God. And what's important to the Father ought to be important to us. That's the reason why if Miss Josetta has a burden about reaching out to this community and she got that burden from God Almighty, then that also too ought to be our burden. Why? It's something that our Heavenly Father cares about, right? You want to make an impact? How do you make an impact in a community? You can tell a community all day long you love them. Unless you show them, it doesn't mean anything. Try that in your marriage. You can say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Never take her to dinner, never buy her flowers, never back that up with an action, and that's not going to last very long. Same way it is when you're giving the gospel out and you're loving on people. You know you got to get in that trench with them, and you got to show them you care, and then that gives you the ability to then share with them the truth of the gospel. Well, what Saul's doing, he's out here looking for these donkeys, not because necessarily they're important to him, because he loves his dad, he knows he needs to be obedient to his father, and he's going to do what his dad asked him to do. Well, they do that for quite some time, and they go up and down, and they can't find them. And I want you to go to verse 5. When they were come to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. He stopped, and he thought, man, we've been out here for days. Now we're going to have another problem. We're going to have a problem because my dad's going to start worrying more about us than he is the donkeys. We need to go back home. So that stopped their journey, or they were going to continue to go from city to city to city. He stops and says, okay, you know, we're going to go back, and we need to end this journey because my dad is going to worry about us. Then if you'll read in that story, his servant says, wait a minute. He said, there is, and let's just read it, because I think it's just really cool. Look at the next verse. It says this, and he said unto, behold, now there is in the city a man of God, and he is honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither peradventure. He can show us our way that we should go. He's thinking, listen, I remember the town that we're in, the last town they just happened to be in. The servant says, wait a minute, I know something about this town. There's a guy in this town, he's a man of God. He's known for being able to know things other people don't know. Let's go to him and let's ask him. Maybe he knows where your dad's donkeys are, you know? Or maybe he'll tell us what to do. Do you understand that that first journey led him to the next journey? The next journey was really important because in that, he would never have made it to that town if he said, I'm not looking for any donkeys. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but God does. And if you don't have this light shining on your path, you are going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Listen, do you don't believe there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy every single home in this church? You're crazy. You are not exempt. If you have a happy home, he don't want it to stay happy. If you're struggling, he wants to take that over the brink and end it in a heartbeat, because that's what he does. He hates God and everything that God stands for, and anything that resembles God working in your life, he's going to try to get a hold of it. And God says, Dave, listen, I've already got your steps ordered. You just follow me. Use the light. Shine it on the path. You trust me, I'm going to get you where you need to go. There's not a bump in the road I don't know about. There's not a turn that comes to me and unaware. I've got it. You just do what you know to do. You know what happened in COVID? Man, people dropped out of church. They used to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you know what's happening? The direction's being altered. If that doesn't affect you, then I am absolutely, Brother Kermit has absolutely wasted his whole entire life. If it doesn't hurt a person to stay out of church, then we might as well get up, go get real jobs, because it does affect us. Why? Because he's the one that instituted the church. He's the one that said fellowship's important. He's the one that said church family is essential to your everyday life as a Christian. He's the one that did that. I didn't say it. And I know this, that when I'm not near it, and I'm not around it, and I'm not in the Word, I feel it. And if I feel it, then you're going to feel it. The second we get off of that path, we're going to be in trouble. The second we start ordering our own steps instead of God ordering those steps for us, we're going to get in trouble. Now, is it random that he's in that town? It's not about the donkeys, guys. It's about being king. Okay? Now, he's still thinking it's about donkeys. Well, then if you read this story, you know, they go on and he says, then Saul said to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. It wasn't about bringing the man of God anything. They knew that the man of God represented God. It was an opportunity to respect the position of who God is, that you don't go to God without bringing him something. You know what God wants out of you? He wants you. Do you know, in fact, this is kind of awkward for a preacher to say, he don't even want your money. Now you tithe because he asked you to, but that's not, the money, he can make that whenever he wants to. What's important to you, to God, is you. When you come to God, you give him yourself. And then out of respect, we also give him our time and our money and our efforts because he deserves it. Can't go to the guy shining the light and say, hey, do everything for me, but don't expect anything out of me in return. Because that wouldn't be very nice in any relationship. So they're thinking about it, and all of a sudden the servant goes, well, wait a minute. I've got some stuff we can bring. You know, when Saul said that, look at this in verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before called a seer. Well, when the servant looked in his own stuff, he found something he could give to the man of God, and he said, hey, look, we can go see him. Look at verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is, behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice. Verse 15, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. Isn't that awesome? Before Saul came to that town, God told Samuel in his ear a day before. You know what's happening? The steps are already ordered. He ordered them 2 days ago. Now, what had to happen is they had to keep looking for these donkeys. They had to get to that city, and on that day, call it quits for the donkey search. Let's go see the seer. Maybe he can tell us where the donkey is. It just so happened God put an order in before and said, hey, Samuel, there's going to come a guy here tomorrow. He's going to be the next king. He doesn't even know it yet, but I'm giving you a heads up. So when he's looking for you, you know what to tell him. Isn't that awesome? Do you know God's already spoken? He knows what he wants you to do. Listen, he knows whether your family is going to make it or it's not going to make it. There's not a thing in this room that's going to catch him by surprise. But when we get off track and when we lose sight, when it doesn't end up the way he wants it, it's never his fault. It's always ours. You take that light off that path, you're going to be in trouble. It's what's ordering. Listen, all I know is this. I was taught as a kid, this is important. Sure, I've gone to churches and I've seen people make royal messes of their life. I've seen people that were supposed to be good. You know what? It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what mockery they make out of living for God. This place is still important. It doesn't care who lets me down in this place, because God's not going to let me down. And no matter what, this place is important. So you know what I'm going to be, where I'm going to be on Sunday? I'm going to be in the house of God. Why? Because I know he's ordering my steps, and I don't want to miss something. I don't want to miss the next move. I don't want to miss the next bend in the road. I need that light shining on my steps. I need to be around God's people. I need to hear the next message. I need to apply the next message. I needed to do a work in my heart. I need to be around you. I need to be involved in things like Josetta's going to do. I need to go to the prison. I need those things. Why? Because that's what takes me on the next part of the journey. That's what puts the puzzle piece together. That's where my kids are going to be where they need to be, because I want God ordering their steps. And it's this person meeting that, you know, life is absolutely 100% about not what you know, about who you know. And I'm name dropping all the way to heaven. 100%. It is a relationship of connection, right? Okay, I don't know who my kids are going to marry. I still got three that need that Lord willing, one day they're going to, you know what? Dave picks them, Dave's going to pick wrong. I don't want to pick them. I want God to pick them. I want God to lead the right person in their life. But in order for that to happen, I also need to get them around the things of God in order for that to take place. I don't want them meeting somebody who church isn't important. So, you know, a good place to find somebody where church is important? In church. Because I want them to marry somebody that's going to wake up and say, no question, there's not a vote on what we're doing today. We're going because we want to go. Well, in order for that to happen, I got to get them around the things of God. I got to get them around the people of God. Any chance they got to be around somebody and do something that has to do with the ministry, that's what I want, because I don't know where their wives are hiding. I don't know where their husbands are hiding, just like he didn't know where these donkeys were, but God does, right? And I know he's ordering the steps, okay? And so they get there, and then... And then he says this, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before, saying, Saul came saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, the same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, now he walks right up to Samuel. He doesn't even know what the seer looks like. He walks right up to Samuel and says, we're here to see the seer. And Samuel says, I'm him. Is that not cool? Now, how does that happen? Because a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. You walk up to him and say, hey, I'm here to see the mayor. I love doing this back to when I was in Slippery Rock, occasionally do it here. I love to come into church and then not know who the pastor is. I love sitting by a first-time visitor. I used to sit during the song service and out there in the crowd. And I'd sit by a visitor. And I love to mess around with him and say, hey, have you ever met the pastor? No. I said, well, boy, he's really good. You know, I'll goof with him a little bit. I'll sit there with a hymn book. I'll sing songs with him, you know. And then all of a sudden it comes time where I need to get out there. I'll say, hey, excuse me, I'm late to work. I'll hit that aisle. And then about halfway down it dawns on him. Hey, wait a minute, that was a pastor. Crack me up, right? Enjoyed doing it. Well, can you see, Samuel already knows because God told him. Saul doesn't know. He walks up to him and says, hey, we're here to see the seer. I got some lost donkeys. Samuel, that's so awesome. He already knew that. He said, I've been waiting for you. Because the light was shining on that path. And he quickly found out it's got nothing to do with the donkey. By the way, they found the donkeys. Got nothing to do with the donkeys. It had everything to do about the path. Now, in contrast, I'll just tell you the story. I don't have time to look at it. Remember Peter, when God was trying to break down his heart about the Gentiles? And being a Jew, he was not open to, he was having trouble with the whole Gentile thing. And God needed to help him. So God gives him, puts him in a dream, and in that dream he has this weird dream about this sheet coming down from heaven, and inside this sheet are all kinds of animals. And in that dream that's very vivid, Peter knows it's not quite a dream, it's more like a reality thing, because he can hear God, and God says, arise and eat. Now, what you have, arise and eat, is God shining the light on his steps, telling him what to do. Do you know what he said? I don't think that's correct for me. I don't think what you want me to do is what I need to do. I know you're, can you imagine telling God, no, I'm not going to do it. He is God. And that is after. Now, you know what's really neat? You can go look at it. Do you know he told them that? It says that he told Peter to arise and eat. Guess how many times he told Peter to do that in that dream? 3 times. Is that not poetic justice? 3 times. How many times did he say that rooster's going to crow? How many times did Peter deny him? How many times did Jesus on a beach over a meal of fish say to him, Peter, do you love me? How many times did he ask that question? 3 times. Do you know Peter by now ought to get the point? Pay attention to 3. He told him 3 times in that dream, get up and eat. Oh, no, I can't eat that. I'm a Jew. I can't take these next steps. That's not for me. You don't know, understand what you're asking me. The question is, do you trust him? Because he has already got them ordered. All right, we tell our kids, I learned it when I was a kid, ours is not to question why. Ours is to, and my parents put it this way, ours is to do or die. Right? I mean, what am I questioning the creator of the universe? He tells me it's okay. Guess what? It's okay. You got a problem with it? See him. He makes the rules. I don't. All right? He said, get up and eat. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to say, listen, I'm about ready to launch a worldwide campaign to reach the Gentiles. Okay? And I need you to be on board. That's where I'm taking you. They're no different than you, and I'm trying to teach you. I'm ordering your steps. I've got something that I want you to learn, but in order to do that, then later on, he came to the realization of what that whole dream was all about. It really had nothing to do with the food. It had everything to do with the Gentiles. But see, he rebelled against that. You know, as far in that story, he never did go over to that sheep and eat. Wouldn't do it. Because he's thinking in his mind, you know, once you begin to think you can handle something, or you possibly know that you can do something opposite of what God wants you to do, and it turns out okay, once you get to that gray area, you're in real trouble, because it'll never work out. You know, he's the master weaver. God doesn't do anything mundane, or when you look at a butterfly, you're blown away by the geometry on its wings. And it's like he is just so incredible. He doesn't have to do normal because he's God. All you got to do is look back and go, man, he was ordering my steps and I didn't even know it, but I'm glad where I ended up. Right? I'm glad that this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. How? Simply by letting that light shine on your feet. This is how much you know God means to you. When you get up, do you stand there in this dark world and say, okay, God, not a step further. I need the light. I need you to show me where to. I don't even need to know what's 50 feet in front of me. I just need to know where to put my next step. Okay? That's all I need to know. Show me where my next step is, and I'm going to follow that. And then show me where my next step is. You know, in the daytime, you get hurt inside. You got all these emotions. You know what you do? You ask God, what's my next step? You make it on your own. You're going to make the wrong one. Right? You start letting this world press on you, and you start making steps on your own. You say something out of anger. You say something out of hurt. You can't reel it back in. Damage done. You stepped in the wrong hole. But if you let that light shine on it, and you can see very clearly, and you can stand and say, my steps are already, Arnold, your steps are already ordered. He put that in before you were born. And he will guide you faithfully to what needs to happen next in your life if you'll just trust him, just like he did with Saul, needing to meet Samuel, didn't know who the man was. But God took him right there made him meet the very same guy and said, "Hey, I'm looking for the seer." Samuel says, "You found him." Whew. I tell you what, that gives me hope. You know, if you're here and you're lost, trust me, God's already been looking. Whether or not you're falling, that's up to you. You know, God's not willing that any should perish. It's not in his nature. Like, God can do whatever he wants to. He can make whatever rule he wants to do. And he's the one that he said he's not willing that any should perish. And I'm not going to question his words. He said it. I'm going to trust that. It's not something he gets a kick out of when somebody dies and goes to hell. He wants them to be saved. You don't follow the light, that's on you. Same way in our life. We say God's important to us. Then take the light out, let it shine on your steps. And he'll lead you where you need to go. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask, and if